Good morning, everybody. Can you hear me at the back? Thank you. We've got a very, very tight timetable today with the final submission at 5 o'clock, so we're going to be keeping to time, which means that we will start this process right now. We have a full house. So welcome, everybody. Thank you for coming and presenting today. To my left, Jean-Paul has an egg timer that will go at, just to help you, go at 5 minutes and then again at 9. And we're going to have to close the submission, even the questioning, at 10 minutes. So we will not run over time, and I will be very strict there, and some may feel offended, but we could never get through the volume of community submissions. So that's something that we've all agreed this morning, and I will be tight to that time. But welcome, everybody. I call now for any apologies. And we have one recorded from Councillor Rokawa Tait. Thank you. A seconder? Councillor Gould. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Contrary, carried. Right, we move now into submissions. And our first submitter, don't be nervous. We want to hear the very best from you. And if you want questions at the end, then you'll have to cut back on your speaking time, because 10 minutes it is and the bell will ring. So could I ask Douglas Black to the table, please? And for councillors, that's 142, page 142 in your submission. No, it's not. It's the additional provided, numbered, submission number 32. Good morning, Mr. Black.
I'm honoured to be allowed to present my submission before such an august audience. Mayor Chappie, elected councillors, and Mr. William Chief Executive Officer, I object to the proposed...
The Ottawa Plan...
Mr. Black, you're welcome to sit down.
Oh, no.
If you want to stand... Good.
I've got a hip problem.
Right.
Trouble at old age. I object to the proposal to the proposed Yarrawa plan of appointing 40 non-elected members to the board to assist in the running of the Rotorua District Council, as it's totally unnecessary. The cost alone would be prohibitive, as the 6 present members cost us about 200,000, and dividing by 14 and multiplying by 200,000, we don't get $300,000. We should get a much bigger sum. I cannot see the need for a Tiarawa committee to add to advise the mayor and the 12 elected councillors, as they have never been needed in the past. If they are necessary as a native input for a Maori perspective, then for economic reasons alone, we should go back to the 4 Maori wards. My reasons are as follows. What professional or trade qualifications do any of its members hold that are of any value in running a complex organization as a rural district council? What contributions have these initially 4, now 6, made to the efficient and economic running of the council over the number of years that they have cost the ratepayers? What cost benefit have we had by their sacred prescience? Surely the minutes of the meetings and their individual contributions will have been recorded, unless, of course, they were paid because they have made some intangible contributions, such as skills as blessings, shaman, sadhu, a holy person, mafia, blackmailer, a protection racketeer, or are we just giving them the natives koha? I do realize that the loss of income will be catastrophic for the incumbent members, but the RDC is not a charitable organization. We as ratepayers do not have a large surplus of funds to subsidize the income of the TASC members. I will not go into the comedy that prevailed on the initial appointments, more so as to how they were to be elected by the Tiarawa people. If we must have 14 tribal representatives with the mayor plus 12 councillors, then I recommend we have 14 community representatives. So we'll have 14, 13 plus 14 is 41 representatives. The 14 natives and the 14 community representatives will not be paid, but will be volunteers, just like the hospice, language teachers to migrants, museum guides, etc., etc. I'm sure that the elected councillors will give them some legitimate expenses. I believe that my proposition will be acceptable to all the natives and will be able to make a contribution at the end of each year. The government may even give their leaders, Mr. Tehana has been given that title by our mayor, a knighthood for services to Tiarawa and the RDC. I sincerely believe that the RDC, a legitimate name, RLC or the Rotorua Labour Council, is a preferred name by the mayor. It's not a very wealthy council. We have a lot of very poor, low-paid workers. And to remind the mayor, councillors, and all of the staff employed, including the chief executive officer, that no matter what they do, they are responsible for nothing. We, the ratepayers, will have to pick up the debts, just like the council up north, who have screwed things up to such an extent that the government has had to put in a statutory manager to look after its affairs. And I'm extremely grateful. Thank you very much.
That's the end of your submission.
Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have any questions from councillors? Well, thank you, Mr. Black.
Thank you.
For your submission.
Thank you.
And now I ask Stephen Milstead if you'd like to come to the table, and that's page 142. You can stand or sit.
I'll sit fine. It's all good.
Great.
Okay. Good morning. Tena koutou, tena koutou, tena koutou katoa. Your Worship, the Mayor, Honourable Councillors and fellow citizens and ratepayers. It's with a heavy heart that I speak to you today, but I felt I must too. I do not support the Te Arawa partnership proposal, options 2 or 3 in any shape or form. However, I have no issues with Te Arawa having a say in the decision-making process of the council, which should be fine, especially if it concerns Te Arawa and the welfare and the future of its people. I also acknowledge and respect Mr. Flavel for the support of his constituents, and it's nice to have one local MP standing up for his people. I accept that Te Arawa are the manawa whenua for the Rotorua area, and they have been very generous to the district, and they deserve our utmost respect and goodwill. I've heard nothing but good things about Te Arawa elders from previous councillors and present councillors. It goes without saying. Respect goes both ways, though. The Rotorua District Council has made up many communities. Its citizens pay hefty rates to the council and expect to have a say in the decision-making process as well, just like Te Arawa expect to. This is evident in the number of letters written to the local papers, the petitions, the 1900 submissions, and the large support that the pro-democracy society is attracting every week. That's getting bigger and bigger. My main concerns are the principle of democracy. Only elected representatives have a mandate from the people to vote on our behalf, for the people, by the people, of the people. I do not want to see unelected paid people with voting rights on any committees and unelected people sitting on the CEO's performance committee or RSM panels. These positions are reserved for elected councillors only. That's why we vote them in. They represent us. The principle is still the same whether they are Te Arawa or John Key and a girl with a ponytail. Like most people, I voted for Stevie and most of the councillors. To many people, being elected by their fellow citizens to represent them is a privilege and an honour. The words trust, integrity and without favour come to mind, and I like the fact that they're accountable to the ratepayers. Every 3 years, if you don't do a good job, we'll vote you out. It's called democracy. My second concern is power. Power corrupts, absolute power corrupts absolutely. The TAPP, or TAP, is what it is, a blatant grab for power by some in Te Arawa, and I emphasise the word some. I don't believe that all Te Arawa and all Māori people let's put it in the same thing. Anyway, it would also give disproportionate power to one interest group. We already have 3 Te Arawa councillors, the Mayor, Deputy Mayor and Janet, all with closed eyes to Te Arawa. Te Arawa have considerable influence in the council already and are well represented by these people. The sad part about all of this is that most of these people who were voted in were the support of the wider community, and it feels like our support is taken for granted. The TAP model has more representatives than there are councillors, which is unaffordable, and marginalises non-Te Arawa Māori, and council have legal obligations to all Māori in the Rotorua area, not just Te Arawa. And it does not include other groups in the decision-making process, example, grey power, rural and lake communities, and also what's stopping other interest groups trying to get the same, demanding the same rights. Also, I saw a lot of stuff in the Daily Post. Jean-Paul Gaston, was it? I'm not interested in what other towns do and what other groups do. I pay my rates in Rotorua, and I expect to have a say. I'm not interested in what happens in other towns. My third concern is about the process followed by the council and the lack of consultation for TAP for the vast majority of its citizens. A little personal thing with me was Te Arawa sounds like they've got 6 to 12 months to do their consultation and have their huis, which is great. We got probably, 6 to 7 weeks if we were lucky. The process followed by the council to try to ram through the TAP options 2 and 3 were probably the most shameful, undemocratic, biased and predetermined exercise in the 30 years I've been in the Rotorua as a ratepayer. The public consultation process and media releases by the council was a combination of half-truth, deception and manipulation. The biased reporters from the local daily paper and the high-priced council spin doctors were obviously working together. I like the fact John Paul was in the paper quite a bit. You were away out of the country, but they still kept putting your name in there. Is that true?
Just carry on with your submission. Okay, right, you cannot ask council officers.
Oh, sorry, but, okay, it's all good. Okay. The feedback form was deliberately biased and worded in favour of TAP. The process was also not in keeping with the spirit of the Local Government Act 2002, which states local authorities should conduct its business in an open, transparent and democratically accountable manner and should make itself aware or should have regard to the view of all its communities. Also, the December the 18th meeting with a 10-3 vote in principle with no prior public consultation except for Te Arawa was contrary to the Act and left the council open for judicial review and public ridicule. Hence, we've got all these people writing in. My fourth concern is cost. As the Mayor and the councillors know, this council is in debt to the tune of $168 million, which is quite scary. That's a lot of lottos. Even if we can indulge Te Arawa and their council supporters, at the expense of their fellow citizens, we cannot afford to have a parallel council. We do not have enough money to pay our democratically elected councillors, let alone 14-plus representatives from a group of people who are already some of the most wealthy in Rotorua. The ratepayers are not a cash cow for the council or Te Arawa, and with the latest rates increases announced recently, I fear this will impact on the low and single-income families, ratepayers on fixed incomes, and the elderly. The last thing they need to see is the council throwing away more of their money. Also, with the way this council has handled the TAP so far, this could lead to a judicial review which would cost the council, aka ratepayers, hundreds of thousands of dollars. I would have thought you would have learnt your lesson after the criticism of Judge Smith, the Environment Court, the sewerage scenario, when the council did not follow the correct process, and I believe $750,000 was wasted of ratepayers' money. In conclusion, TAP options 2 and 3 would not add any benefit to Rotorua's citizens, except a few. It's undemocratic, it's unaffordable, it's dividing the people, which is probably the sad part about the whole thing, and it will leave a nasty legacy for this mayor and this council. We all need to be working together for what's best for all our communities and the future of Rotorua. I suggest back to the drawing board, start again and follow a more inclusive process and perhaps try a different model. A model that would include input from all interested groups, and obviously including Te Arawa, and people will be paid for their attendance when required and try to keep the cost to the ratepayers to a minimum. And finally, just want to say thank you on behalf of the wider community to the brave people who did fight for democracy in Rotorua, who gave up hundreds and hundreds of hours of their own time and their money to fight for this, and also the brave councillors who are there for the people. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Milstead. Any questions? Councillor Stewart?
Charles.
Good question. Thank you for your submission. We appreciate that you've come in. Are you aware that there are... Sorry? Can't hear? How's that? Are you aware that there are unelected paid people on the Lakes DHB representing Te Arawa and Te Whairitoa and have so for years?
Do you want me to answer that for you? Yep. I pay rates to the district council. I don't do the DHB. Okay, and I can understand Te Arawa should have an input because they are obviously mindful of the health of their people, which is only fair. But I don't pay rates to them. I pay rates to the Rotorua District Council, and I think everybody should have a say.
Thank you. Councillor Gould.
Thank you for your report submission, Stephen. I'm quoting from your written submission on our page 142. Mm. You said, is there another option? And you talk about Te Arawa and Community Policy Advisory Boards. Have you thought about the Mary Ward system?
I think if that would work for Mary, I don't see a problem with that. I think as long as everybody has a say, and I mean all the communities, right? So we're made up of a multi-racial society and community in Rotorua, and we all should have a fair say. It's called democracy. And if award system works better for Mary, that's fine. The only thing that worries me...
Thanks, Mr. Milstead. I think you've given a good place to end.
Was that it?
Yep, yep.
Thanks,
Stephen. The clock rang. Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for your time.
Thank you. Everybody. And now if I invite Jenny Milstead to the table and refer councillors, it's page 150, Jenny's submission. Good morning, Jenny. Good morning.
Thank you. It's a difficult day for me because I'm not normally a person who comes out into the public eye and makes statements, but I felt that the issues that are happening at the moment were important enough for me to put my feelings aside and come and speak my mind. I respect Te Arawa. I know that they are mana whenua. I know that there are a lot of people here who have emotionally and physically been affected by what's happened lately, with the writing in the paper and the submissions that we've all had a read of. I am sitting here today because of democracy. It is my given right to come here and speak my mind, and this is something that our forebears have died for. And I know that globally a lot of people have died because they haven't had democracy. For me, it is really important that this council goes back to the drawing board and looks at a fairer option. The one that 2 and 3 that you're looking at is too derisive. I don't believe that it is going to be an effective way of governing for all of Rotorua. I think that there are some very... there are better options with maybe option 5, but it's to be discussed probably further down the track. I ask that all councillors please search your heart, go back to the drawing board and look at it again. When you've got people like me who are prepared to not only write, but come here and speak when it's against their nature to do so, then it is actually really not a good spot. I know that Te Arawa are well heeled. They have 55,000 hectares. They are intelligent, well educated, financially well supported. They are in a better position than Rotorua District Councillors. So I don't actually feel sorry for Te Arawa. I don't think they need to have special treatment. I think they need to be treated with respect and treated with an equal playing ground for everybody. That's all I have to say. Thank you very much for your time. Any questions?
Yeah. Thank you for your report, Jenny. When you talk about wants a fairer option, have you thought what a fairer option would be in your opinion?
In my opinion, every interest group should be able to come to council and say what it is that they need on their behalf or their group's behalf. And that council, because of the oath they take, should listen fairly to those petitions. I don't think that one group should have a better say than another group. Other questions? Thank you. Yeah, okay. Thank you.
Dr. Stuart Corson? No, you're on my list. Yeah. Are you ready?
Yes.
Yep. Great. Thank you. And
I was going to have a PowerPoint to reinforce my points to.
So page 209 for councillors, and here it comes.
Your Worship, councillors. May I introduce myself to you as a person who has lived here in the city since childhood. My forebears have been here in the country for more than 150 years. I've been particularly fortunate through my adult years to have had a professional career in the city with an organisation that has brought substantial respect and revenues of the global technology sector into the city. And like many, I am concerned that our city could be socially and economically stronger. And for that reason, I'm concerned that the current proposal is not in the best interests of what we need to do to achieve this. Now, I'm not talking to this, but in reading the submissions over the last few days, I've been concerned that there are two separate conversations going on that are really mutually exclusive of each other, and we do need to find some common ground on this very important issue. And I'd like to make the observation that it seems to me from my side, with a Western world view, that the proposers and supporters of the partnership make no attempt to address the intended suspension of universal suffrage, as I read it. And this suggests that universal suffrage is neither valued or understood, and I can't really believe that is the case. But we do have to think what our words mean. And further, they are broad emotional generalizations that are offered in support of the proposal. So I wonder, or strongly, very strongly feel, that this is something that is happening too quickly, that we've become too close to the issue, we need to stand back, and we could better look at our established strengths and build on those. Also reading the submissions, I find that many appear to be confusing council as an entity that is independent of us as the community and of Te Aroha as part of the community. My understanding is that council that you represent is collectively us. No exclusions unless a group wishes to exclude itself. It is what we make of it collectively. So if we look at this structure that we enjoy here, it is a democratic privilege that we mutually share. It has evolved over 2,500 years to assure fairness. It is widely used or aspired to by socially diverse and economically strong communities across the world. Certainly, in reading the submissions, I appreciate it is considered that these words are considered a worldview that may not be shared by many within our community. But I think if we wish to succeed by achieving revenues from the world, we do need to give credence to worldviews in our governance structures. And my conclusion is that the proposal will confuse and duplicate our existing governance structure. And of Te Aroha, there is, to my mind, no issue that they are a major economic force and I have a strong social presence. There has never been, in my understanding, any issue of their recognition for their mana. And they will continue as leaders to be recognised for that. But this is something different. This is about the administration of a community. And by definition, they are included already within our civic structure. They have the respect and dignity of us as their peers, and I trust we them, theirs. They have full and free opportunity to contribute to civic functions and pursue their aspirations. But I believe what we should be pursuing is an engagement model rather than offering selective participation. And in proposing the partnership, I am concerned that I find no substantive examples of any systematic failure of your council to fairly provide essential services over contemporary times, nor examples of how the proposal would additionally provide to effective engagement. So there is a lack of substance and detail that I find concerning. So clearly I don't support unelected representation on your key council committees and functions, nor of your funding of single sector groups that is not universally enjoyed. And in conclusion then, I think it is timely for us to reflect that as citizens, we individually have a duty to be informed and engaged. That is our responsibility as part of the democratic system. Now, our council, which you lead, can support us in this. Collectively, you are ours to assist in achieving our civic aspirations. But I don't believe we need to go further to the extent often requested by this proposal. Thank you.
Well, we'll ask for questions, and I've got a question, which is just clarification, really. Does anyone have a question? Could we go back to the third slide? And I couldn't understand your comment. That's all about systematic failure to deliver services. I don't understand where you're coming from.
I understand that the recent concern has been of the comment of the Environment Court of the failure with the Rotamar situation, which I take as an isolated issue. I don't see that that has been replicated over many such failures of performance.
I've got you. Thank you. Any other questions? Well, thank you, Dr. Corson. And thank you for your preparation there. It's easy for us when it's dot-pointed. Now we ask Rangimārie Bosma-Robson. And for council to understand, that's page 8.
Tēnā koutou katoa. Tell me when the timer starts, please. Ko Rangimārie ahau, Te Arawa Waka, and I'm here today with my submission to support Te Arawa, and I want to encourage this council today just to go back to the museum and to see the movie, and the movie that talks about the 800-year-old story of Tamata Kapua. The plan was to bring the tohunga, so it was a three-stage plan that I'm pointing out today, that the rangatira Tamata Kapua was to bring the tohunga Ngā Tūruirangi, who was an Ariki-ranking tohunga. Now, the Ariki-ranking Māori tohungas, this is how the Māori Queens and Kings establishment started, so it was brought to this area, to Te Arawa, to Rotorua, and the next stage of that plan was, as the story says, that he called to his sisters, the three sisters of Ngā Tūruirangi. And so part of that plan today too, and as the legend says, that they came as the spirits of fire beneath the moana, the ocean, and they were the geothermal areas, and they are the geothermal areas to this area. So if you think that a thermal act in place is going to suppress the original sisters of Ngā Tūruirangi, a plan that we've had here for 800 years. I don't believe that that's going to succeed. I want to encourage this council to go on your own website. As part of my research, I've gone onto your website and I've looked at the Fenton Agreement, which I'm here to challenge today, that I disagree with the Fenton's Agreement. On your own website, it talks about the Thermal Act, Thermal Springs Act put in place in history, but also at the same time acknowledges and talks about the Town Trust establishment, which was Pukerua or Ruawhata in history. So are you aware of that history on your own website about the Fenton's Agreement aligning with the original township trust, which was acknowledged to be Pukerua or Ruawhata? Do you acknowledge that? Do you understand that today?
We'll check it and make sure that it's a historical account that's accurate.
That's right. Well, we need to correct that history, people, because rightfully speaking, if they were originally appointed as the Township Trust, they should be the council. Isn't that correct? That rightfully, if they were appointed under the Fenton's Agreement, that Pukerua or Ruawhata Trust should actually be the council establishment right here. So we need to look at that history, I believe, and we just need to understand. It's about understanding the history, that we have already had a plan already laid in this area of the whenua of Te Arawa Waka, and it's an 800-year-old plan. laid in. It wasn't laid in by myself. I'm a researcher just to bring a correction of understanding of history, because for an order, a whakataukia, for an order for us to move forward, we need to look back. It's right there that this council should have actually been the Pukerua Uruawhata Council. I've also been studying and looking at the work of Francis Fenton, Judge Fenton, and it was quite hard to trace information about him, so I googled Francis Fenton online, and it says that he was supposed to have been born in England, moved to Australia for a time, and before residing in Auckland, and it was from Auckland that he instructed the foundational township of Rotorua, which that in itself, in doing so, he, as we still see the photo and the history, that he had a group of tamata kapua descendants that he arranged an agreement, the Fenton's agreement, with. However, what he failed to do was he failed to do his homework, because if it's all interwoven into a whakapapa here, that it's not just Ngāti Whakaue to this area, it's all interwoven, Tapuika, Tūhaurangi, it was all a unified kotahitanga actually, interwoven, and Tūwharetoa to come into this area to manage and govern the geothermal springs area. So I'm talking about a larger plan that he forgot. He didn't really do his homework when it came to consulting with our people originally. So just a little bit of history there just today to help us move into the future. I'm wearing the cloak of justice, the Kurawai of Rangimaria, which represents the end of colonising the Māori people. And we're at the end of an era. This represents the end of an era, actually, of British rule over Aotearoa, New Zealand, and we will move into a future. We can have a future where we do become an independent nation. It's our right. It's always been there. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Alan McKenzie.
Oh.
And that's page 30 of our submissions.
Morning. Thank you.
Good morning, Alan.
I have to save a bit of time, if you would like, and I've brought copies of my submissions here. Okay, well, I'll read what I have. Thank you. I object to the whole proposal because it is double-dipping into the electoral system. All Maori, like everyone else, have a vote, and yet this proposal gives them an extra vote as well. Not very democratic principle at all. Thank you. I also object strongly to any special interest group, advisory group, being paid or otherwise financed out of ratepayers' money. We can't afford it. I see that apart from elected councillors, employed staff or professional people skilled in a particular area, anything anyone has to offer by way of advice or suggestions should be done as an unpaid civic duty. Before seeing my way clear to accepting this Te Arawa proposal, I would like to know what advice and skills they can bring to the council table that cannot be obtained from anyone else. Do they have these special skills, or is the whole thing just a sop to marry them? Nor do I see that a reversion to tribalism should play any part in either local or national governance for either Maori or Pākehā. We are, after all, part of a nation state where tribalism has been discarded. A cultural or fun thing, yes, but such a narrow outlook is not good for a modern society. My name shows I descended from a tribal society in Scotland, but where are they now? Scattered all over the world. I do not see that these same groups should have any input into the oversight of the chief executive performance, as it gives them one third of the decision making, and no one can say that is a fair for a minority to have such a say on anything. Besides, does the CEO need people constantly looking over his shoulder while he works? I object to giving any special or group special privilege based on race or any other criteria. In this case, it is little better than reverse racism and akin to apartheid. It makes a mockery of the concept that we are all equal before the law. We do not want a system where some are more equal than others. All people today must cope with a very changing and complex world. To provide special privilege to anyone is not helping them cope with the constant changes taking place. Regardless of race, the views and mindsets of 1840 peoples could not perceive of the advances made since that time, so we do not no longer make comparisons with that period. This 21st century world we live in is so complex that the customs that were common back then are having less relevance with today's world and can only be relegated to an historical thing worth remembering as the way our ancestors once lived. That applies to all cultures, not just Maori. Allowing people who are not elected to decide how my rates are spent is not only not democratic, but an unacceptable imposition upon the citizens of Rotorua, or anyone else for that matter. Privilege leads to corruption, and there is no guarantee that in 5 or 10 years down the track we will not have some corrupt individuals making decisions for the ratepayers and not being answerable to the people via the ballot box. What guarantees can you give that this will not happen? Our early ancestors left their homelands to get away from that system where the privileged few had all the power. They thrived when they had the opportunity to be individuals and not someone's serf. And this I have to ask, is it the aim of Maoridom to eventually reduce the rest of us to modern day serfs with them having all the power? Are they to be the new aristocracy? Finally, we can't resolve the problems of the past by imposing guilt-fed solutions on the current generation. If we do, then we are building up a pool of resentment for the future where people of all races must live. Trying to solve one problem by creating another is all too common in politics and it doesn't work. One of the natural laws of no government or court can change says that for every action there is a reaction. And if we don't gauge what that reaction will be, we end up with more problems. I, for one, don't want to leave a mess for my grandchildren to sort out in future years, a mess that could end in violence as happens in other countries. We can't afford to water down democracy for the sake of placating a self-interest group, no matter who they are. As councillors elected by the people, your positions are in danger of being compromised to irrelevance if this proposal goes ahead. Mark my word, they won't be satisfied with what they get, but will demand more. We must all cope with a changing world the best way we can. Giving special privilege to a small group, as if they are the only ones who pay rates, is indefensible and should not happen in a democratic society. Thank you for hearing me out.
Councillors?
And we'll all receive a full copy of your submission.
Yes.
Councillor Gould?
Thank you, Alan, for your submission. Have you thought of any other options this council should take?
Yes, I am inclined to go along with the proposal put forward by the Pro-Democracy Society. I think it gives everybody a chance to make submissions. And I don't think to make those submissions they should be paid unless they've got some special advice that the council needs to make a decision. But I ultimately think it's a council's responsibility to make decisions, not somebody who would like to be or have a cushy job. It just won't work. Okay. I wish I'd put these. Rosemary should be here shortly. She's supposed to be.
It's all right. We're very flexible. So we'll wait and hold a space open for her if she wishes to come and submit.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Great. Thank you. That will be a tabled submission, so it becomes part of the public record, and it was well written. So it will be part of the public record. I apologise, but if we turn the fans off, we get very, very cold in here. The sound. Right. So could submitters please try to pull the microphone? They're quite flexible units to your mouth. Thank you for that. Ms. Reynolds, are you able to come now? Thank you. So we'll move on to Reynolds McPherson, and first it is your petition that you're speaking to.
If I may, I'd like to speak on behalf of the Rotary Pro-Democracy Society, and then in the second part, a personal position.
Have the first submission. You're speaking to the petition, I understand. We can get staff to table that around for you, Reynolds.
Just before I begin, my understanding is that my first presentation is on behalf of the Rotary Pro-Democracy Society, and the second one is on my own personal behalf. Satisfactory? Thank you. Thank you very much. Now, I'm delighted. Yes, I will mention the petition as we go in the second half. To start my beginning now, the timing starts from now. Thank you very much. Te hei mauri ora, inga mana, inga waka, inga hoiwha, tēnā koutou, tēnā mai tātou anō. I wanted to start, Your Worship, the Mayor and Councillors and fellow citizens with a traditional welcome that thanks you all for adding your mana to this hearing, for representing all parts of our diverse community and from coming from many different directions in the hope of finding a new policy settlement. The Rotary Pro-Democracy, which I speak on behalf of for this first session, now has 343 members. It's grown very quickly, and our view is that we should use the common ground using democratic values and processes, unite in our diversity and share a common civilization in peace and prosperity, reflecting Hobson's hope. He iwi tahi tātou. We are now one people. Now, if I might, the overhead indicates that the partnership plan does retain elected council in which all citizens vest their personal sovereignty, their tiranga tiratanga, through free and open elections. Citizens' votes have equal value in this process, and the mayor and 12 elected councillors are empowered for 3 years to make decisions that affect all of our citizens. At the end of the period, they account to the people and they face the ballot box of public opinion. This is the normal way we do business. It's democratic because it's government of the people, by the people, for the people. Ask me what is important about democratic governance and I'll tell you. Kawanatanga o te tangata, mai I te tangata, mō te tangata. But the unacceptable change that's proposed by the partnership plan is to give one interest group, because it is mana whenua, the right to recommend members for appointment straight onto key standing committees of council without being elected by the people. This would not be democratic. The people already elect the proportionate number of mana whenua onto council. Worse, the people would not be able to unelect unelected appointees. Countless examples internationally in history indicate that when unelected people get power, it leads to corruption and tyranny. The people will also refuse to be ruled by unelected people. Why, is the question I'd like to put to you. It's because the partnership plan offends a moral ideal called democracy that came from our tupuna, a moral ideal that many have died for. This moral ideal exists as the values and principles that guarantee a political system. It guarantees active participation. It guarantees the protection of our human rights as citizens. It guarantees the rule of law.